as we read our scripture this morning, we saw the Gospel of John opening with such powerful words about who Jesus was. Now, you know, we've been spending a lot of time with the Apostle Paul in recent times. We've looked at the book of Acts, we've looked at a few of Paul's letters, but now we are embarking upon one of the Gospels. And as you know, in your Bible, you've got four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and all of them are telling the story of Jesus, reminding us who our Savior is, reminding us of what He came to do for us. So as you look at those four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we enjoy this rich presentation of who Jesus is. We're going to give our attention as we begin this new series on the Gospel of John. Well, why the Gospel of John? Well, there's not any particular reason other than John is just a unique gospel. If you've done any studies in the Gospels before, you know that the Gospels are often organized as synoptic gospels or the Gospel of John. Synoptic gospels, as this little diagram points out, is Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And what does that word synoptic mean? Well, syn, S-Y-N, means the same. It's like the word synonym or synopsis. It's the same. And optic is seeing. And so it sees Jesus the same. A lot of the stories that are told in Matthew, Mark, and Luke are kind of parallel one another. And we've looked at a comparing contrast between the first three Gospels. John is unique in the sense that it contains 90% of unique material. Stories are not told in the other Gospels. One of the reasons for this is often taken to be that John was written last. And John knew Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you can tell, borrowed from one another and paralleled one another and shared different perspectives on stories. And so John, writing a little bit later, decided what was needed at that time was just a new understanding, a new level of understanding of who Jesus was. And so John kind of went beyond the synoptics and gave us a rich picture of Jesus. And again, 90% of the Gospel of John is unique to John's Gospel. They're familiar stories to us because much of John's Gospel contains stories that are so rich in meaning. Let's share one example of the difference between the Matthew, Luke, and John that will kind of illustrate both the perspective of these three Gospels and the richness to which John takes us. You know, Matthew and Luke, part of these synoptic Gospels, both contain, at the beginning of their Gospels, a genealogy, giving us a family tree of Jesus, kind of where He came from. They also give us a rich birth narrative. At Christmas time, we enjoy drawing some of the stories from Matthew and from Luke when it comes to the birth narratives. Let's just talk about the genealogies for a moment. And again, looking at this in terms of what John seeks to offer us. Let's take Matthew's gospel. Matthew, if you have your Bibles and you want to flip over to Matthew chapter 1, you see a genealogy there. And Matthew is often understood to be giving us that Hebrew or that Jewish background. And Matthew very carefully traces the family tree of Jesus through and back to Abraham. Why is that? Well, Matthew is seeking to speak to a Jewish audience and talk about Jesus as the son of David, rooting him in the traditions and in the family. So Matthew begins his family tree with Abraham and moves forward, placing Jesus as the son of David. Luke, he also offers us a genealogy, but Luke is speaking to a broader audience, speaking to all people, And so Luke, as he traces back the family tree of Jesus, doesn't stop with Abraham, even though it goes through Abraham, but he takes it all the way back to Adam himself. Why is Luke doing this? He's trying to show that Jesus is grounded, not just in the Jewish tradition, but Jesus is grounded in all of humanity. Matthew spoke of Jesus as the Son of David. Luke speaks of Jesus as the Son of Man, taking Jesus back in this family tree all the way to Adam. What does John do? Well, John doesn't offer us a genealogy of sorts, but rather, John, in his gospel, takes us back even further. Takes us back into Jesus as the eternal Son of God, as the eternal God the Son. And so John is giving us that eternal perspective, that eternal perspective. Another interesting point of comparison between the Synoptic Gospels and John's Gospel is what each of these Gospels contain. The Synoptic Gospels give us the stories of Jesus, and they're rich stories, and they're fun stories. And remember, the Gospels were written to believers. They were written to the community of faith who had heard about Jesus through the apostles, through the Apostle Paul and through the Apostle Peter. And the Gospels give us the story of Jesus, give us a richer understanding. They explain that Jesus came and was with the people. But John wants to dig a little deeper. In fact, whereas the Synoptic Gospels contain a great deal of narrative, stories about Jesus, when we turn to the Gospel of John, we see a lot more attention being given to the dialogues of Jesus, the discourses of Jesus. We'll see Jesus talk to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. We'll see Jesus meeting the woman at the well and a lot of dialogue and exploration of who Jesus was, what he came to do. One of the reasons for this is John is written a little bit later than the Synoptics. John is written at the end of the first century. And we've talked about this, as you know, we preached through the book of 1 John a couple of years ago. And we know that 1 John and John himself, as he wrote 1 John, was dealing with some false teachers. And John understood the need of the day was for believers to truly understand who Jesus was, to be grounded in the truth and in the nature of who Jesus is. And so John doesn't give us the same stories that the Synoptics give us, but rather John gives us the words of Jesus, the dialogue, the discourses, what Jesus said and what he taught, especially about himself. The Synoptics contain lots of parables of Jesus. You're not going to get parables in John's Gospel. Instead, you have in John's Gospel discourse on Jesus. There are miracles in John's Gospel. In fact, the very first miracle that Jesus performed, turning water into wine, is recorded for us in John chapter 2. And John shares these miracles really as signs of Jesus. And each one of the miracles is shared in such a way as to tell us what was significant about who Jesus was. We have also, as again, a unique feature of John's Gospel, his well-known I am statements. 7 times Jesus uses that I am to talk about who he was. And that I am goes back to Moses in the burning bush, where God is revealing himself to Moses. And when Moses asks, "What is your name? What am I to tell the people?" He says, tell them that I am who I am has sent you. And this is grounding God in eternity past. And Jesus adopts that very theme and shares that he is the I am. A couple of important themes we will see in John. John talks about love. He is the apostle of love. In fact, there are 80 times in John's writings where he talks about love. In fact, when we looked at 1 John, we noted that 1 John contains so much about love. We also know, as another important theme in John's gospel, the notion of truth. Again, we mentioned a moment ago that John wrote his gospel at the end of the first century when some false ideas about Jesus had begun to emerge, and John recognized that if we are to guard ourselves against false ideas about Jesus, we need to know the truth, and the truth about Jesus. 25 times in the Gospel of John, he talks about truth. 20 times in his epistles, he talks about truth. John wants us to know the love of Jesus. John wants us to know the truth about Jesus. The word believe, as a verb, is used 100 times in the Gospel of John. That is a theme. In fact, one of the theme verses in the whole book of John is found in John chapter 20, verse 30, where John talks about those who would believe the truth would find their salvation. Believe. So John, we could say he is the apostle of love. He is the apostle of truth. He is the apostle of faith. And he wants us to know the truth, know the fact that we are loved, and to believe in who Jesus is. Believe in who Jesus is. I'm going to stop here for today. Again, there's a few more introductory remarks we want to make, and then we want to delve into this wonderful book telling us who Jesus is. Whereas John says in John chapter 20, verse 30, it is by believing in Jesus that we have life. It's by believing in Jesus, who Jesus is, that we come back into relationship with the Father. I'll share one more story about John as we turn to the Lord's table. John was there the day the Lord shared this meal with his disciples. When he was one of the disciples that sat around the table. And if you read the story in John's gospel, it says that he was there and he sat next to Jesus. He also was one who had a special relationship with Jesus. Jesus at this meal indicated that one of his disciples was in the process of betraying him. And Peter, who happened to be sitting across the table, didn't really know what Jesus meant by this. It was kind of shocking information. How could one of us betray Jesus? And so Peter speaks to John across the table and says, John, ask Jesus what he meant by that. And John, who had a very special relationship with Jesus, leaned over into Jesus and asked him. And in that story, John is described as the apostle whom Jesus loved. The apostle whom Jesus loved. Another fun fact about John's gospel, he never uses his own name in that gospel. He never self-identifies in that gospel. Rather, he refers to himself in his gospel as the one whom Jesus loved. And that story I'm telling you now, he's described as the disciple whom Jesus loved. So John self-identifies as the apostle whom Jesus loved. Now, we listen to that, we think, well, wait a minute, that little bit, I think it smothers brothers. You know, I'm the favorite, I'm the most loved. John doesn't say he's the most loved. John doesn't see himself as the favorite. Rather, John recognizes that he simply is loved. I mentioned before that love is used 80 times in John. John is loved, and he identified himself. He came to view himself as the one that Jesus loved. Not that Jesus didn't love the others, or that Jesus loved John more than the others, but he was loved. And I thought to myself, and I want us to think the same thing, we are loved. And to be loved by the Savior, to be loved by our Creator, is a good thing. It gives us a sense of comfort, of acceptance, of knowing that we belong, knowing that we are loved. John identified himself as the apostle whom Jesus loved, the man whom Jesus loved, the one that he loved. We too need to know as we come to the same table that we too are loved, and that the table of the Lord and the body given for us and the blood shed for us was done out of love. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Who told us that? John did. John understood himself to be the one whom Jesus loved. We, likewise, are the one whom Jesus loved. Not loved more than others, but just simply loved. So as we gather around the table today, I want us to view it as John viewed it. A giving and a receiving from a Savior who loves us. We are loved. We are loved.